Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are again. The last day of the year. Have you asked yourself yet what this coming year might bring? Maybe it'll be a better year, and maybe it will not be a better year. But the truth is, no one outside of God can tell us what the future holds. We can't even say if there will be a tomorrow. All we know for sure as today is the present, and we are here. Yesterday is in the past, and the future is in God's hands. God never promised us tomorrow, but he did make an interesting promise to a man named Simeon. From our gospel text, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The name Simeon means hearing with acceptance. Hearing with acceptance sounds a little bit like faith. And Simeon lived a life of faith. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had saw the Messiah with his very own eyes. Now, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that this meeting would happen in Jerusalem. At the temple in Jerusalem, it was the heart of Jewish worship. It's the only place where sacrifices could be made by the people according to God's law. And as we discussed downstairs earlier, as you can imagine, it would have been a beehive of activity, people coming and going, bringing their sacrifices, their animals, for a myriad of reasons. But even with all the hustle and bustle, the comings and going, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Simeon recognized this 40-day-old child as the Messiah. And Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God. It's the second person of the Trinity who participated in creation, now entering his own creation in the flesh of man, coming to bring salvation to all peoples, Jew and Gentile alike. Prophecy had been fulfilled. Simeon had beheld the Messiah with his own eyes, the Holy Spirit's promise fulfilled. And at that very moment, as far as Simeon was concerned, he was ready to go to heaven. His bucket list had been filled. Come, Lord Jesus, take me home. He was ready to depart in peace. And then, as if to confirm Simeon's words, Anna, an elderly pious prophetess, began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. We can kind of make a comparison with the angels in the heavens speaking to the shepherds in the field. Simeon is announcing the good news of great joy, which had come into creation. The Savior was in their midst. And then, like the shepherds, Anna goes out spreading the message of the great joy, using Simeon's words of the Nuctimittis, that salvation had indeed come for all peoples. Now, as we talked about earlier, Anna had spent many, many years at the temple, worshiping with prayer and fasting. But Scripture never tells us how old Simeon was, how long Simeon had been waited to see this promise fulfilled. But the wait was over. You know, a walk of faith sometimes is long and arduous. Our faith can cause us to be going down a difficult and lonely road because faith runs contrary to every bit of human wisdom and knowledge. And that's why, as Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. As believers in the Christ child who was born in a stable and would go on to die on a cross, you're called not to believe in the things that you touch, the things that you see, the things that you feel and make you fuzzy all inside. You're called to believe what is revealed in God's Word. In His Word, that's where God's promises are. We call it the conviction of things not seen. And unfortunately, in this world, that doesn't fly very well. Walking by faith is an invitation for persecution in this world. And in our text, Simeon foretells to Joseph and Mary and to you and I, persecution is going to come. Although Christ is only 40 days old at that time, Simeon foretells that this Messiah will cause division in the world. Some will stand firm in faith of Jesus. Others will fall off into unbelief. Still others will reject him right at the beginning. Simeon even foretells that Mary herself will suffer anguish at her son's death on the cross. Now, because of your faith, you too will suffer anguish. You're liable to lose friends, even have family members turn against you because of your beliefs. But Scripture tells us that's the cost of discipleship. That's the price of bearing the cross of Jesus. And those who are in Christ Jesus will find that life is anything but peaceful. It certainly doesn't look like a successful, fulfilling life to the world. It all began in the waters of baptism. In baptism, you were marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. It's not a mark you and I can see. It's a spiritual mark, a mark that Satan can see and Satan despises. You see, that mark makes you an easy target for Satan and his stooges who work for him. And he and his stooges will use every weapon possible, be it sickness or worry or guilt, to crush you and crush your faith. Even though Satan already knows that the sinful flesh and death have already been crushed by the incarnate God. But St. Paul builds us up with these words. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God appointed a time, even back before the foundations of the earth, when he would put his plan into motion, when he would act to fulfill his promise of sending a Savior. That Savior was born a Jew, in the flesh of man, obligated to keep the law of Moses. But more than that, because of our sinful nature and the fact that you and I cannot keep God's law, Jesus was born under the law so that he could keep the law perfectly on your behalf, redeeming you from the law. Jesus kept the law beginning in his circumcision on the eighth day and in his presentation at the temple on the 40th day and every other day after that, keeping the law perfectly until he breathed his last hanging on the cross. He paid the wages of sin for all mankind. He kept the law perfectly, reconciling you back with the Father. earlier, I mentioned how the hustle and bustle around the temple in Jerusalem, there were a lot of people at the temple coming and going, but there was only one person who recognized Jesus for who he truly was. And that's because it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that someone recognizes Jesus. The Spirit reveals Christ. Today, still many do not recognize Jesus. They don't recognize him as the light of the world because they prefer to live in the darkness and have their deeds covered by darkness. They prefer to forsake the good news that Jesus brings into the world. They prefer to try to snuff out the light that he shines into our world. But the Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus to you. He has called you by the gospel. He continues to enlighten you with his gifts, sanctifies you, and keeps you in the true faith. And by faith, you receive adoption as sons of the Father. And by meditation on God's word, where he reveals himself, the Holy Spirit strengthens your faith and assures you that you are indeed a child of the Heavenly Father, a child redeemed by Christ Jesus, and that you are an heir of the heavenly kingdom. In our text, Simeon is ready to depart in peace and go live in eternity with his Creator. He's ready because he knows that God's promise of a Savior to redeem him and all mankind have already been kept. He's ready to go because for the sake of Jesus, whatever Simeon might face from that day on, peace had already been made between Jesus and the Father on his behalf. So today you stand with Simeon. You too are ready to depart in peace, because by faith, you too have beheld your Savior. The Holy Spirit has revealed him to you, not through some mystical vision or some sign out in the wilderness somewhere, but the Spirit has revealed him to you in God's Word. His word announces that the baby that Simeon held up in his arms would grow up to one day bear your sins on the cross, reconciling you with the Father. You behold Jesus every time you receive his body and blood, given and shed for you in his Holy Supper. Therein he promises you the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith. It is the Lord's Christ that you behold, who died on the cross to save you of your sin. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, whatever you face today and going forward after you leave this door, it all ends in eternal life, no matter how horrible it might appear. So as the ball comes down in New York City tonight, what does the new year hold? We cannot say, but we commend tomorrow to the Lord, trusting in his mercy, trusting that he will indeed work all things together for good. We commend tomorrow to the Lord because today we drink of the cup of salvation, Jesus' blood shed for you to wash away all your sins, clothing you in his righteousness, and you can depart knowing that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Depart in peace for the sake of Jesus, because whatever you face on this side of heaven, you are already at peace with God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.